Welcome to Nerds Talking, the podcast. This episode is dedicated to our friend Joya Valentine and Frankenstein. 9 years of love. You'll be missed. Hey, cheer up, buddy. We're here for you. Now start the show.
Nerds Talking, the podcast.
Yo! We talk about lightsabers, stunning your TV screens, what you want to stream, everything beyond your dreams. Want to talk about movies, sports, or even politics? Go ahead and tune into us, we'll give you all of it. Whatever you debate, Xbox or PlayStation, Marvel or DC, Mac or PC. Teraflops when the movie drops, gigabytes, chips, RAM, no matter what it is, we got all of it. Welcome to the show.
Nerds Talking, the podcast.
Welcome to Nerds Talking, the podcast. I'm here with Carlos, and I'm Lafayette. The buck stops there. That's it. Just us on this special edition of Nerds Talking, because we're going to talk Roadhouse. A lot of Roadhouse. Also, we watched some other stuff, but Roadhouse is what we watched. I watched both Roadhouse. I watched the one from 1988, or is it 89? And then I watched the newest Roadhouse from 2024, starring Jake Gyllenhaal. So I think you have to watch both, or do you? No, you don't. If you've never seen the original Roadhouse from 1989, don't worry. You don't have to watch it to enjoy the remake. Not really a remake. I mean, it's, I don't know how I'd call it. It's not a reboot. Well, I guess it's more of a reboot than a remake. I don't know how.
Like Joey said, Joey Valentine, influenced by. That's probably the best way to put it.
Inspired by.
Inspired by. Right.
Not influenced.
Inspired by. No, inspired.
Roadhouse.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I meant.
Roadhouse. So I haven't seen the original Roadhouse since like the early 90s, and I recalled almost none of it. And then when I watched it, I don't understand the hubbub about it, I guess.
I don't understand what Wesley, I get it. He likes to shake down businesses in town. But never once did it show him shake down the Double Deuce. So I'm like, why is he still going there? Why is he bothering people?
Yeah, I didn't understand Wesley's point, to be honest. It made no sense to me.
Well, like when they go to Red's auto shop, they shake him down for like 10% or whatever it is, daily or weekly, whatever it is. But Jasper is a huge town. So apparently he's only shaking down five people. So at the end, these five people get their revenge, Wesley.
Well, let's set up Roadhouse for people. The original Roadhouse, okay, is about a bar called the Double Deuce. It's a bar/disco. I guess you can call it. And basically, Dalton is a bouncer that is hired to not just be the bouncer. He's like the manager of the Roadhouse. So
the
he's not
cooler.
Just like,
that's his job title. He's the cooler.
No, no, but he's the manager in general.
Oh, he fires is. Yeah, people. He says he calls all the rules.
He calls all the shots. He's not just the bouncer. He's, you know, he is the guy. And the Roadhouse in the 89 version is a place that I don't know why people would want to go there. It's just like, it's basically just free for all fighting. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's the same band night after night, a Jeff Healey band. I'm like, all right, dude, we need
new
music in here.
Yeah. Anyway. So basically Dalton is there to protect the Roadhouse from one particular crew. Actually, it's the guys he fired. They come back and they join the bad guy. The movie has a reputation. Has like a, it's super badass. It's cool, man. It's like the coolest thing you're going to see. And it is a horrible movie. I mean, absolutely just a horrible movie.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I hadn't seen it since it first came out. And when it first came out, I was, holy crap, how old was I? 14. So I may have seen it when I was 15. And back then, the only reason I even thought it was cool is because, well, tits and ass. Lots of tits and ass.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that. But people made it sound like Patrick Swayze was the coolest dude in the world because of this movie.
Yeah, he's not. Well,
he was super lame.
Yeah, you watch it now. Yeah. You're like, what am I watching? Why am I wasting my time?
He got his ass beat.
Definitely
numerous
a
times.
2 out of 5. Definitely.
Oh, easy. Yeah. It's not a good movie.
No.
It's for an and we okay. First of all, it's an '80s movie, just barely, I guess. But it's such an '80s movie. Like,
right. It has all the '80s tropes. Oh, it has everything you're looking for in the '80s.
Bad. So bad. I mean, yeah, it's just not a good movie. And then they did a new version of it starring Jake Gyllenhaal. And it's the same and not the same. It's better. At least for me, it's better. I don't know about you. I mean,
I liked
movie.
It, man. Totally liked this movie. The beginning threw me off a little bit. I was like, what's going on? But then once he gets the glass key, it picks up and no, it's a good movie. I enjoyed it.
I mean, the old version, it's like the ending was so ridiculous in the old version. Absolutely ridiculous. With the shootout at the house and all that. Just, holy shit. It was so stupid.
Well, you think about it. It's an 80s film. You got the one-man army.
Oh, yeah.
You got TNA.
Yep.
You got the villain who's taking over the town.
Yep.
And thinks he's in charge of everybody. And that is your 80s formula.
Yeah, I didn't understand the idea of they wanted Dalton out of the way, but for what? I still didn't get it.
Yeah, there was no reason for it. There was no reason for it.
Yeah, it's not like he was trying to like buy off the Double Deuce, like anything. Like the main bad guy was at the Double Deuce. Like I didn't understand the point of it. Like,
where's the funny part about that scene that you mentioned it? The scene prior where his goons pick up Dalton and take him to his house. His boss wants to talk to you. Take him to his house. And there's a girl in there doing jazzercise, and she has a black eye. This is the girl who was flirting with Dalton the night before. She now has a black eye. Clearly, she got beat for talking to Dalton. But when Wesley shows up at the bar with his crew, after everyone else ran off, this girl's with him. She decides to do a strip tease. What the hell's going to happen to her now? Is she going to get murdered?
Yeah, exactly.
They're taking her top off and doing a strip tease because she got beat for talking to Dalton. Now she's showing everybody her tits.
The movie is absolutely ridiculous. Everything about it. And Dalton is like, he's like well known. Like everyone knows who he is. He's a bouncer, but everyone, oh my God, that's Dalton. I'm like, what? Is this like a local celebrity bouncer? Like, no, I don't understand.
It's weird. It's like there's a network of bouncers and coolers apparently in the Midwest. Everybody knows everybody in this network of bouncers and coolers. It's funny as shit. It makes no sense. I spent a lot of time in the clubs in my days, and never was there a network of bouncers. But
And Sam Elliott is like the godfather of bouncers.
Oh, man.
That part was so dumb. I mean, the whole movie's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
The only backstory you get for Dalton, he's the guy who killed a guy by ripping his throat out. That's his only backstory. That's all.
That's kind of like the myth. Yeah.
And then, but then he proves it true because he does it to the main henchman.
The main henchman
near the end after he told him he's fucked guys like him in prison. I'm like,
which I was.
He tells Dalton that. I'm like, how is that a scare tactic?
That was his threat.
Yeah. I'm like, oh,
that was his threat. I was like, wait, are you gonna do that or? Guys like him, like kind of pretty boys. Like, I'm confused. Why did you say that to him?
No idea.
Like, yeah, guys and I'm like, at that point, you're winning the fight. You decide to stop to say that. Like, okay.
And the other 80s trope it had was no matter how good the good guy does, if he beats somebody or kills somebody, the girlfriend runs away. Where the girlfriend clearly witnessed him try to shoot him. The bad guy tried to shoot Dalton.
Yep.
Dalton was able to get the gun from him and he killed him. That's self-defense. But this girl ran away like, oh, my God, you're a bad guy. I'm leaving you. He's standing there defeated emotionally and physically.
Horrible movie. And then the new version, Dalton is a former UFC fighter that killed one of his friends in a fight.
Well, that's a little funny, too, because they have the whole, oh, I heard you killed your friend or you killed your friend. So the guy's sitting there watching the video with him. But there's no real connection. You don't really know that. He's a friend. That's just what the guy says. He's just another opponent. And he has the same backstory as the other Dalton, as Patrick Swayze. he killed a guy, and now he's kind of like just trying to lay low.
True,
this
but
one,
the, yeah.
I guess the first one was James Dalton. This one, his name is Elwood Dalton. And that's Elwood. Really, the only Dalton is really the only thing that's going on here. It's really,
well, and the bouncer aspect of it.
Right, right. And the Double Deuce is actually a restaurant next to the bookstore that he comes into town in when he gets dropped off the bus stop.
Yeah, the new version Dalton is 10 times more of a badass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he's only a bouncer, nothing else. He's just strictly gonna kick your ass if you mess around in the club. And he doesn't. It's almost like he doesn't care, like in the sense of he's nonchalant about everything, you know. Like so,
and he's making good money too. $5,000 a week.
$5,000 a week.
That place must be making some great money to afford a guy for $5,000 a week.
Well, here's what I didn't understand. First of all, Post Malone, who clearly did this movie before he lost weight because he looks horrible.
I know, but when somebody said, hey, Post, we're going to put you in a movie where you're going to be fighting, no shirt on. Oh, shit, maybe I should hit the weights or something.
Well,
and the CGI in that fight made no sense to me.
Oh, it was weird.
It was horrible.
It was,
oh, it was
really
absolutely
weird.
Horrible.
Yeah. I don't understand how the owner of the club or the, is it called Roadhouse? What is it
called?
It's called
Roadhouse.
Okay,
Roadhouse.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Why she didn't just order, like, I mean, hired armed guards, security guards. That's
yeah,
it.
Right. Exactly.
I don't understand. Why would she want to go out and hunt for like a certain bouncer? Like, I didn't understand that either. Just go hire armed guards. Unless she thought the armed guards are going to be paid off. Maybe that's what she thought. Oh, well, they're going to be paid off by so-and-so. But hire armed guards. I don't, like, it was kind of dumb. But the action's pretty good until Conor McGregor shows up. Then it's absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, Conor McGregor is the worst part of that movie. The worst.
Hands down. The worst part of that movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, even his non-romance in the movie wasn't that good either. They try to kind of redo the nurse thing. It was dumb.
Yeah.
Part was dumb. Did you notice who played the cop and who played the nurse? Who was the sheriff and who was the nurse?
Yeah, they're both Portuguese actors.
Yeah.
Nurse, or she's a doctor, actually. And that's Rat King 2 from The Suicide Squad, James Gunn.
Yeah, and the sheriff was the bad guy from Desperado. So,
And he's also in Shogun.
He is in Shogun.
He's also, wasn't he also in that? What's that
he
called?
Only plays
30
bad
Pieces?
Guys.
Silver, was that?
He was in 30 Pieces. That's
30
right.
30 Pieces, yeah.
He's,
yeah, he's
a
always
bishop
a bad
or
guy.
Something.
I think I've ever seen him as a good guy.
He's always a bad guy. So those are. Again, not a lot of well-known actors in this movie, primarily Jake Gyllenhaal. And have you noticed he wasn't a producer on the film? I think he
I
just
was
did
looking
this
for his name in the producer credit. But
I think he did it for just two reasons. Number one, to do Roadhouse. And number two, to get in shape. I think sometimes he does movies just to get in shape. Like, it's his reasoning.
Yeah, he was like, jacked. He looked good. He looked really,
oh, yeah.
Really
he
good.
Was like, he did that boxing movie. Remember that one?
Southpaw.
Southpaw, which made no money, but hey, he got jacked.
Yeah.
I mean, the new movie's way better. Like, watch it on Prime Video, Roadhouse. There's a lot of action if you want action. The ending is absolutely ridiculous. Like, just absolutely ridiculous. Why would that customer at the end, when the boat flies through the roadhouse,
ask if they're still open?
If they're still open, the place is destroyed.
Yeah.
And then she's
we still got a piece of the bar standing. There's a bottle over there. Yeah, we'll serve you.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. She's
you
like, what?
Grab them.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is the bar, I don't know how she's pulling $5,000 a week extra, but why would you go there? And is this the only bar in Glass Key? Is it such a tourist attraction, such a tourist hub? This is just a place
packed.
To go to hang out. And why would you go there? Because clearly there's fights every night. Like, why? Like, in one of the scenes, the guy starts singing, and right away some guy just goes up there, hey, stop playing, hey, stop doing, what are you doing? Stop singing. I'm like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?
Oh, yes, the guy that reaches through the fence.
No. The guy goes, you ready to go to church? And the song is something about.
Oh, that's right. He gets pissed off because the guy's doing like gospel R&B or whatever.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. He gets all pissed off, yeah. But you're right. It's also, this guy wants to just buy the place because he wants to open up a resort, right?
Yeah, he
That's
wants to
pretty
tear
much
everything
it.
Down and put a resort up.
Yeah, so
sell it.
His final tactic is to scare her away, in a sense. Just sell the damn place. Just overprice it, overcharge it. There you go. Just, you want it, you have to pay five times the price. Sell it. That's it. Like that would have been great if the whole movie you're expecting like Roadhouse and it's just a negotiation for 2 hours.
There's lawyers, attorneys.
Yeah, and accountants. Yeah. So you're like, oh shit. You know. And then Gyllenhaal is really just an accountant trying to figure shit out.
Yeah, like, hey, like, you gonna represent me? Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. Would have probably been a better movie. I don't know. Like I said, the ending was so bad that the first half of the movie is pretty good, but the ending is so bad.
What killed the ending for me was Conor McGregor showing up at the boat. Nobody told him where it was, but he happened to know where it was. And then I don't know how Dalton got his hands on the dynamite because that was McGregor's dynamite. It was in his car.
No, he had some dynamite the whole time.
Where?
Dalton always had it on.
Where?
He had it when he showed up. He had it in his boat, his little houseboat, everything. He always had dynamite.
Another scene, too, where McGregor was like driving down the street in that student car.
Oh, yeah, student driver.
What was the purpose of that? It made no sense.
To show that he stole a car or something?
And to show that he likes coconuts because he rammed it into a coconut tree and more coconuts fell because he was drinking the coconut water.
Yeah, there's that. He was the worst part of the movie. Hands down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Hands down. Wasn't Conor McGregor's.
And I'm sitting there listening to him talk. I'm like, are you even speaking English?
Yeah, I know.
I know you have what is he, Irish or Scottish?
He's Irish. Yeah, he's Irish.
He has that heavy Irish accent, but it's like, are you speaking English? It was ridiculous.
You know what's crazy though? He got paid $5 million for that role.
Damn.
And he was saying like the most he's ever been paid for anything, fighting, whatever it is, that's the most he's ever been paid. Which is crazy considering he's like one of the biggest draws for UFC and UFC just pays their fighter shit. Just absolute dog shit. So good for him for playing a horrible character. I mean, you know, good. Well, another part that threw me off too, though, was Dalton's calling it quits. I'm out of here. This is bullshit. I want nothing to do with nothing. Oh man, the bookstore got burned down. All right, I'm back. I'm like, what? That's all it took? Okay. Was it the bookstore you cared about or was the money? Like, what part is it?
I think it was a girl. The girl.
It was the idea that his connection, the whole movie was only to the teenage girl running the bookstore. That's it. Like, wasn't Roadhouse or anybody there. He could care less. It was just he saw that and said, I'm back in the game. I'm like, all right. Because didn't Swayze also kind of give up and he went back into the game? What I recall.
He was going to leave until they killed, was it Morgan? Is that what his name was? Sam Elliott's character?
Yeah, yeah.
So when they killed Morgan, he's like, all right, well, guess I'm sticking around.
He was about to leave.
Because remember, even Morgan was like, attaboy. Attaboy. Because remember, he was going to go to the house and then come back and get him.
Yeah.
And when he came back is when he found him with a knife in his stomach or chest. And
well, Swayze got his ass beat at least 3 times. He got stabbed once. And then at the end, he was about to get shot and get killed. And then those other dudes showed up and saved his ass. And there's another thing. They all took a shot at the bad guy with a shotgun, each of them. Then they gave the shotguns all to one guy. He ran off into a room, came back with nothing, and the cops are like, we good here? Yeah, it's fine. Like, what do you do with all the guns? Like, you just,
they didn't see nothing. They didn't see nothing.
Is that what it takes? If the cops don't see it never happened?
Didn't see nothing. No, look, that's what they told the cops. We didn't see nothing.
Oh, that was another thing, too, when they all said that. First, you're all here. There's a dead person right there. You saw nothing?
Yeah, he fell through the table. I think that's how he was when I got here. I don't.
And the other thing is, like, if I'm a cop, I'm like, and why are you all here? That's what I was thinking.
Oh, we heard a crash, dude. We heard glass breaking. We were nearby. We wanted to make sure everyone was all right. Turns out.
How do you explain all the other dead bodies with bullet holes in them?
Oh, we didn't see them.
We just didn't see any of it.
No, we didn't. No, yeah. The five of us, we just came straight to the basement through the side door to the side door over there. And
that part was so 80s. Like, when the cops showed up and they were just like, nothing happened here. All right, fellas. I was like, okay.
and the guy who played Red in the original Roadhouse, he's part of the Memphis Mafia. So he knows how to cover up. Yeah, yeah. He knows all about the cover up. Yeah.
Yeah. The dumbest part I thought in the original version was the freaking 4x4
movie
that the fucking car.
The Bigfoot?
It threw me off. I'm like, what the hell's happening right now?
What's funny is that when he goes outside to see the doctor, she showed up in the Jeep, and the Bigfoot is like in the parking lot.
Yeah.
You should have known, hey, man, these guys are here to cause trouble because they belong to the guys who cause trouble. He's like, wait a second. There's a fucking Bigfoot over there. Let me go handle that first. But no, let's just drive off.
Yeah, and who just casually drives the Bigfoot around?
Apparently, this was in Missouri. Yeah, Jasper, Missouri.
Drives it pretty well too. Parked it like right next to all the other, you know, smaller cars. And you're right though. I see a guy in a Bigfoot. I'm like, that's trouble.
that's trouble. What I want to know is how you're going to get out. How fast are you going to get in? Yeah, tall vehicle.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, and the best scene I thought in the new Roadhouse was when his very first fight scene outside the bar. When he tells the guys, let's go outside.
He just slaps
the shit out of everyone. Just
that was funny. The way he slaps them like little bitches.
Just keeps slapping them around. Just bah, bah, bah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
And what I liked about the character, I like Jake Gyllenhaal, but what I liked about it was that he just seems so cool and just so, like you said, nothing's disturbing me.
Yeah.
He's almost like, it reminded me like of the Hulk, you know, when he said, I'm always mad. Well, it's kind of like what he's like as well. When you get him mad or when he breaks and you get him mad, someone's going to get hurt. And that's what happened in the ring. He killed his buddy. He was mad for some reason. But the whole time, he's just totally cool and calm and everything's just, you know, it's a bright, shiny day, no matter if it's day or night for this character. And he handles his business. That's what I liked about it, like the way it was played.
Oh, he's always calm, no matter what, yeah.
Yeah.
And he tells everyone beforehand, you sure you want to do that? Because I'm going to do this, this, and this. I'm like, oh. Wait a second. Is this Steven Seagal?
He was even nice enough to take him to the hospital.
Oh, yeah. He took them all to the hospital.
Yeah.
Oh, as a matter of fact, the best character was the Mexican guy.
Yeah.
He was super nice. All the time. Dude. I've seen him in other things, but I'm like, this dude is hilarious. He's super nice.
The nurse, oh, yeah, he definitely broke his arm. Goes, are you a friend of his? No, I broke his arm.
Yeah. Well, the other bit, too, when he sees him leaving the mansion. He's like, I'm out of here, man. It's a bad idea. I just want to ride bikes.
Yeah.
Like, I thought this was going to be a fun little biker gang. I didn't know it was going to be all this. And, yeah. Yeah. Again, if you ever never seen Roadhouse and you know, like, the myth about Roadhouse and how Roadhouse
sticks
so
to that.
Badass.
Stick to that.
Yeah.
It'll ruin the myth if you watch it. It'll actually ruin it.
Well, don't watch the original one. It'll ruin everything you think is cool about Roadhouse. Because
there's nothing cool about Roadhouse.
It's a horrible movie.
No.
Just. Like the first one, you gave it a 2. That's being nice. That's how bad the 80s
that
movie
is being nice. Yeah,
but I'm gonna give it a 2
because
it's an 80s movie.
That's why.
Yeah, you do see a lot of titties and ass. Yeah,
yep.
That is true. Yep. You actually do see quite a bit of it.
A good amount.
And the sex scene is way too long.
Yeah, it was dumb. But I mean, the payoff
but
was
that's
at the
80s.
End where she gets out of bed and you can see her butt.
But the 80s was like that. When there was a sex scene in a movie. It's almost like they were like, take advantage of it. Show as much as we can, as long as we can.
Swayze's outfits were so stupid. He kept wearing that karate gi top.
And the sweats.
Oh, and the sweats. And the like sweats. I don't know if they were like dancer shoes, whatever they were, those black.
His ballet shoes.
Yeah, it's like dirty dancing outfit or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, that dude, if that's the best in shape he could get, I mean, you got to put a little more effort.
I think so. But that's 80. But, that's 80. Well.
That is. No, you're
actually
right. That's 80s.
For 80s.
Because that's what Seagal looked like.
Well, it was either. Right. So here's your spectrum. It's Swayze. And in the middle, you got Stallone.
Oh, no.
And at
Stallone.
The end, you got Arnold.
Well, I guess you put Schwarzenegger. But Stallone, like after Rocky 1, was yoked.
I know. But then you got Schwarzenegger at the end. Because Schwarzenegger
that's true.
Is
well,
huge.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
Stallone
yeah.
In the middle. And then
Swayze
at the beginning.
Yeah. That's the whole.
That's the
80s ladder.
Spectrum. And
that's
then
the 80s
like
spectrum.
Van Damme falls in between Swayze and Stallone.
Yeah. I put him there. Where you put Seagal at Swayze? Because they pretty much had the same body.
At Swayze, yeah. He was in shape at one time. Now he's just a fat dude.
Oh no, now he's the very bottom of the scale.
Yeah.
He tips.
He's not
the
even
scale.
On the scale.
Yeah, he fell off the scale. He rolled off the scale.
He's hanging on to the edge. Trying to stay
I give
on
the
it.
New one. I'll give the new one a 3.
A 3.5.
Because the first half is so good until fucking McGregor shows up, and then it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah,
like how's McGregor an unstoppable machine? It's so stupid, it's so dumb. And when he comes to the bar and like starts messing everything up, I was like, this is so dumb.
With the golf club, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, so dumb. Like even the Dalton character, I thought, why is he just watching him with a golf club the whole time? Like he just watched him like just do whatever he wanted with the golf club at first. I'm like, do your job, dude.
Sizing him up, man. He's got to figure him out. Like,
well, remember the other two guys tried first. Remember.
Yeah.
And then they got their asses beat. But Yeah, like I said, I give it a three and a three and a half. Like again,
three and a half because movie. It's worth a second watch.
It's, well, it's a fun movie. It's a fun movie. You know, but like we were saying, Gyllenhaal didn't want to produce this movie because he knew this shit ain't gonna make no money. You know, no. Because they told him it's a Prime movie, Prime Video. He told him off the bat, this is going straight to Amazon Prime.
But even if it hit the theater, I mean,
it would have made
maybe the first weekend if there's nothing else going up against it. But I mean, maybe it would have because it would have been up against Immaculate. I'm guessing.
Well, no, it would have been up against Ghostbusters, right?
Oh, you're right.
Was it right, or was that the past? No, that's right. It would have been Ghostbusters. Came out the same
Ghostbusters.
Week. Yeah. Yeah.
They would have came second.
Oh yeah, would have came second. Yeah. No, Ghostbusters, and then try to follow up with Kong versus Godzilla, it would have died. Just died.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So, matter of fact, sure. Kong Godzilla out today. So check it out.
But I like Dalton's answer in the new one when those two guys were like, "Hey, the boss wants to see you." He goes, "Well, you know where I work."
Yeah, almost like, every day. Care. Like, who's this dude?
Yeah,
I know. Shit. I was like, that's what I liked about his attitude. I'm like, yeah. Look, man, I'm here for a job. I don't give a shit who your boss is. You know,
like for some reason, Swayze's sitting on his car, just napping or whatever he's doing. Guys show up. Hey, boss wants to see you.
He just goes. All right,
let me grab my rayon suit. Going with
like,
you.
Okay. Like, I know. I thought the same thing too. I'm like, why are you going along with this? Like,
yeah.
Such a stupid movie, Roadhouse. And I don't like again.
The Family Guy episode is better than the first movie.
Oh, way better. Matter of fact, Family Guy makes Roadhouse seem like holy shit. I gotta see
like
this
it's
movie.
Cool. Yeah.
And then you watch it and go, this is trash. Yeah.
Roundhouse kicking everything.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's opening this weekend. You got Kong, Godzilla, or Godzilla Kong, The New Empire. That's pretty much it when it comes to big movies. That's pretty much it. So I got nothing else really that's like a big movie that you should probably go check out. Just Godzilla Kong. Check that out. The New Empire. Check that out. All right, we'll take a break here on Nerds Talking Podcast. We'll be right back after this.
Hey guys, this is Joey Valentine with the Fat Guy Loves Cake podcast, your favorite podcast or soon to be favorite podcast.
That miserable little bag of puke.
Shows are three times a week on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's observational humor where I talk about things like movies, music, the 1980s, and more. I also talk about subjects I know nothing about, like what women want and how to please them. Not to mention I complain about getting older and fatter.
I'm having chest pain.
Three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday with me, your favorite podcast host, Joey Valentine.
This show uses potty words like fucking shit and ass and stuff, so children should not be listening.
Joey Valentine.
Available on all streaming platforms.
Welcome back to Nerds Talking, the podcast. We're here with Carlos and I'm Lafayette. Remember to rate, subscribe, review, turn on notifications, tell your friends every Friday, new episodes of Nerds Talking, the podcast. And if you're on YouTube, look up Nerds Talking Podcast and turn on those notifications and subscribe as we have new episodes and reviews separate from the show on YouTube, so you can check those out. Our latest review is what'd you say it was?
I forgot. Madam Web,
man, what a gem! What a gem! We watched too many things recently, so we're gonna start off with Netflix's next bet. I would say it's their next bet: Three Body Problem, based on a novel. Actually, it has three books. Carlos will tell you what it's about. It's a sci-fi show. I can tell you that. But Carlos, what is Three Body Problem about?
Well, it's about aliens who want to come to Earth. They need a new place to live, but they realize that Earthlings advance faster in technology than they do. And so they're trying to kill scientists in order to stop them from advancing the human race. And so they invent a video game that you put on, like a virtual reality, try to recruit scientists to their side. It becomes kind of a murder mystery at the beginning. And then when you finally figure out what's going on, it becomes something else. Sci-fi, I guess. Not really an adventure, but a sci-fi drama.
But what is the three-body problem?
Hell if I know.
It's when three bodies dead people align.
I know.
When the sun aligns.
The three suns.
When it all aligns
what it does, it takes the planet out of its orbit. Its orbit. And it's, spins it to the other sun, which totally ruins everything. They're trying to figure out how to stop it, but they can't stop it. Their only answer is to leave their planet.
Exactly. So that's the three-body problem.
They will be here on Earth in 400 years.
400
so everybody
years.
Run to the street and riot and panic and freak out. Yeah, 400 years.
And the cast of Game of Thrones has to figure it out.
That's right. Like, well, Fabio's dead.
I know he's dead. Yeah, and he's like a rich video game guy, or couldn't figure it out.
No, he attended Oxford, dropped out of Oxford, and started a company called Jack Snacks. So he does crisps, as they call them in the UK, potato chips, and things of that.
Oh
nature.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And he's worth $60 million. $60 million.
Oh, really? It seemed like he's worth. So yeah, I mean, the show is okay. It's a little slow. Like you said, at first, you're kind of like figuring out what it is. Like, what is the show about? And I was so confused. Even when they started playing the game, I was like, what the hell is this all about? You don't really, it's only six episodes. You really don't get anything until the third or fourth episode. Like,
I thought it was eight.
Was it eight? Are you sure?
Yeah, the typical Netflix formula, eight episodes.
Either which way, it's okay. You know, I thought the part that was dumb, like you said, was 400 years until they show up. And they're all panicking now. The main guy, or I should say the main head of the science world, I don't know, whatever that old dude is, wants to freeze
Wade.
Himself.
His name is Wade.
He wants to freeze himself for 400 years. And they said to wake him up once a year for 1 week so he can boss everybody around and then go back to sleep. And I'm like, why do you want to? I understand why you want to be there when they show up. Sure. But 400 years? Good
because
Lord,
he feels like he's the only one who can pull this off. Who can
I know. He
together.
Feels like he's the guy that can actually end, stop it or whatever it is.
Well, my favorite character was Benedict Wong's character. When he first came on the scene and then he started talking, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, this guy can either do a really good British accent or he's British. So I looked him up. I had no idea Wong from the Marvel movies was British.
Yeah,
British actor. Yeah, yeah Benedict Wong.
Yeah, if people don't know who that is, he is Sorcerer Supreme next to Doctor Strange.
Wong.
Wong? Yeah, Wong. There you go.
Wong.
Yeah.
He lucked out.
Yeah.
His character's name is his name.
It's on Netflix called Three Body Problem. It's a sci-fi mystery, I guess is the best way to put it. I don't know. I don't know how you advance this story in season two. You have to jump. I feel like you have to jump way ahead. Like, you can't just drop it right back where it is because you have this dilemma of, well, 400 years. So, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to, of course, advance technology, but what, like, what's the show going to do? So you would think it's going to jump way ahead in season two. So who knows?
I don't know. I don't understand is the wall talkers that I don't understand because they have to come up with ideas in their head only. Can't write it down. Can't talk it out in their head only. Well, shit, man. Sometimes when I tell myself to go pick something up at the grocery store, I forget as soon as I walk in the door. So good luck to that.
Well, also, isn't there already, like, they're already on Earth, right? So.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah, that was weird, too. Like, when the fat guy died, I was like, okay, he's dead.
Oh, that's that Tatiana chick that works for them.
Yeah.
An apostle, I guess. She's such a fanatic or radical. She does whatever they want.
Yeah, I don't. Again, it was okay. I thought it was going to be something completely different, to be honest. I didn't. When I saw the preview, I didn't get it. And then when I watched it, I was kind of lost at first. Like, oh, okay. And then it just, yeah, I don't know. It's, what would you give it out of five? I think a three is pretty fair for now. I mean, it's, we'll see where it goes. It's Three Body Problem Netflix. Check it out. You'll recognize a bunch of the actors, especially from Game of Thrones. And there's like four of them from Game of Thrones, I recall. Like you said, that Benedict Wong, you'll notice him right away, recognize him right away. Next, we saw Netflix Damsel, starring Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things. It is a movie, a medieval times type of movie. It's about a princess being married off to a very rich, rich prince. And the family does it because they need money and they also need shit because their kingdom is basically being, or I said bare bones. They need help. So they marry off the daughter so that they can get the riches so they can help their kingdom out. But they don't know that the rich family needs her to sacrifice to a dragon because that's how they keep their whole thing going. Dragon stays dormant as long as they give the dragon a sacrifice. Carlos, what's your take on Damsel on Netflix?
I like Damsel. It was entertaining. It kept me glued to my seat the entire time. Wasn't playing with my phone. It had some weird plot holes, I guess. But no, I liked it. The only thing that threw me off was the end when Millie Bobby Brown all of a sudden had this really short club dress, disco dress, whatever you want to call it. But no, I liked it. It was entertaining. I liked the look of the dragon. It was so cool. The dragon was so cool. I kept waiting, like, show me the damn dragon. It would never show it to you. It kept flying around. It kept running off. It kept whatever. And it finally showed it to you. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, the thing is, it had like the one note going the whole movie. So I was a little bit bored. Like, you knew she wasn't going to die the whole time.
Oh, sure. Of course.
You know, so you're just kind of like, okay, get to the point with the dragon already. Then it shows like all these other damsels that were killed by the dragon and how, you know, they're kind of leading her, you know, out of the cave. And she finally makes it and tells the dragon, you know, the truth. And then they become best buddies. And now she's the dragon queen. Like you said, she comes out on a new boat, a ship, and she has a cool disco dress on. And the dragon is doing her bidding. It's a lot of CGI, people. This was filmed on green screen, 100%. like,
oh yeah,
straight green screen, and has some good effects. Like I said, the dragon does look really cool. The dragon talks, just like, what was that movie? The dragon talks. What was that movie with Sean Connery?
The Hobbit. Oh,
the Hobbit too. Though you're right.
Yeah.
Dragonheart.
Cumberbatch was a Dragonheart.
Dragonheart, not Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch was a dragon and Hobbit.
Oh, he was. Okay. Yeah. Damsel's on Netflix. Like I said, stars Millie Bobby Brown. You know, it's not too long. It doesn't really have action. I wouldn't say it's not an action flick.
No.
What a category.
Adventure, I guess.
Yeah, I'd say adventure.
Adventure, trying to get out of the cave. Which...
Fantasy. I'd call it fantasy.
Fantasy.
Yeah,
sure.
I'd call it fantasy. And whatever. I give it a 3.
Yeah, it's fair. Better than the game.
Oh, well, yeah, that's not hard to beat. I mean, the game. Wow. But yeah, check it out. It's on Netflix, starring Millie Bobby Brown. And then another one we saw, I guess we had a busy week. We saw Ricky Stenicki, also on Amazon Prime, just like Roadhouse. Now, Ricky Stenicki has a lot of people in it that you might know, but the main two is Zac Efron and John Cena. And, and one more guy. What's the boss's name? He's also a well-known actor. He's from Fargo.
It was William H. Macy.
William H. Macy. There you go. Starring William H. Macy. Those are the main three actors you'll notice. So you'll see John Cena plays Ricky Stenicki. The idea of Ricky Stenicki is you got three best friends that constantly make up stories to get out of town or hang out and do things like do guy things. And they use Ricky Stenicki always as their scapegoat, this fake best friend. He's the scapegoat. He's not real. But then one day the wives, they're going to throw a brisk for one of the characters' babies. And they say, invite Ricky. And like, oh, crap, what do we do here? And they end up hiring a casino lounge act. And his whole act is he does cover songs about masturbation. And they hire him to come to be Ricky Stenicki. And Ricky he's also an actor. The guy is great. He fits the role perfectly. I mean, he has a whole backstory, everything. And John Cena actually nails it. He's funny as hell in the movie. He's the best part of the movie. I guess you could say hijinks ensue. It gets to the point where Ricky Stenicki impresses Zac Efron's boss so much that he ends up hiring him at a bank? No, it's not a bank. A
financial firm.
The financial firm, yeah. He hires him because he has balls and he knows nothing. But hey, he's getting paid now $250,000 a year, gets his own office, and doesn't know shit. And it's a funny movie. The second half, it's like Roadhouse. The first half's really good. Second half, not so much. And that's mainly because the way they wrote the movie it's so cliche. The movie's super cliche. It reminds me of like an 80s movie, like cliche. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like big time. So just kind of give you an idea. He gets the job at the firm. The main characters get jealous because they work there as well. But this guy is getting paid more, has his own office, so on and so forth. This is no shit. And they're jealous of this actor they hired. But this actor, he really just wants to be their friend. And he's even legally changed his name to Ricky Stenicki. Like, he wants to play the part, but he wants to be the part. And in the end, they basically try to make him lose his job. They try to ruin his life. And it all kind of turns on them. And it's also produced, written, and directed, I think, by one half of the Farley brothers. If you guys don't know, they did Dumb and Dumber. They did What About Mary. They did, what's the other Jim Carrey movie where he plays the cop?
Me and Myself, Irene.
Me and Myself, Irene. Yeah, so, you know, they've done a lot of funny movies you might know from the past. Yeah, so what was your take on Ricky Stenicki?
Like you said, the first half was hilarious. It was funny. The second half, not so much. John Cena, I thought, did a really good job, man. He can do comedy. But, man, he looked old. He looked old.
Oh, he looks old.
Oh, yeah. And Efron's got that weird jawline now. Just, he kind of looks weird, but...
He's a square head now.
Yeah, and yeah, no, yeah. He looks, yeah. Yeah. But, no, I liked it. I liked Ricky Stenicki. I didn't know exactly what it was. Somebody had mentioned it to me online and said, hey, check it out. Super funny. And so I checked it out. Yeah, it was funny. I check it out. Definitely check out Ricky Stenicki. I mean, the bunch of movies that we saw this last week compared to what we've been watching is far better. Far better.
Yeah. But see, bad movies are always much more fun to watch.
I think movies are just better to review. There's so much shit you can talk about.
Yeah, it's so true.
So much garbage.
Like this movie, when the guys get jealous and try to get Ricky fired, the movie would have been better if they just went along with it.
If they were
like, oh man, look at this guy, man. I think it would have been funnier if they just went along with it. And like they were trying to help him out and he kind of just flubs things up, you know, because he's, you know. But the thing about Ricky is if you're an actor, you memorize stuff. So he always sounded smart because he memorized a ton of shit, you know, to play Ricky Stenicki.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely a method actor.
Yeah. But overall, it's not bad. Like, it's also another 3 out of 5 movie. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's got really funny moments. One character of the main three friends loves Ricky. Like, has his back, doesn't want to see him fail. It's the other two that want to see him fail and end up turning on him. But again, check it out. It's on Amazon Prime. It's called Ricky Stenicki, starring Zac Efron and John Cena. John Cena has actually done quite a bit of movies that have gone under the radar. They don't go to theaters. I don't know if you noticed that. He did one with Jackie Chan recently on Netflix. Yeah.
Oh.
He did.
What's
another
the one,
one
he did right before this one? I think it did hit the theater, but it has like a 0 in Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh yes, with
really bad.
With Brie Alice. What's her name?
Brie Larson.
No, Allison, the chick from Community. She was on Glow, the main actress.
Oh, okay, I know you're talking about.
I forgot her name.
Yeah,
Alice, whatever. Yeah, that movie was really bad. He did another one. He did a political thriller.
Really?
Yeah, Exant. You didn't know that, right? See, yeah, he does all these like direct to streaming movies.
Wait, was the one what's he did one called Freelance. What's that one?
That's it. That's the one.
Really?
What the really bad one. Yep. I got 0 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Freelance.
Yeah. He basically is a freelance, like a mercenary hired to protect
someone. Oh, you're talking
about
Allison Brie.
Allison Brie. There you go.
Christian Slater's in that one too.
Yeah, when he's in a movie, well.
It's got to be good.
You got, like, if
it's
you're.
Like gleaming, it's Gleaming the Cube all over again.
Well, if you're going to go to the, like, the audition or whatever, who else is in this movie? And they say Christian Slater, just walk out. I think I'll pass on this one. Thanks though, buddy. Yeah, Christian
Slater. No, it'd have been Christian Slater. Oh, yes. I don't even have to audition. Just give me a role. I'll do it.
Yeah. Oh, I think if Christian Slater's in, they'll give you any role. They're like, oh, we need more people in this movie. Yeah.
What does that have? Oh, it's got a 6% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, 6%. All right. Yeah, I'm telling you, he also did a political thriller.
Oh, that's not on IMDb, though. He must have.
No, it's
on
there.
On his IMDb.
Name his last, like, 10 movies.
Ricky Stenicki, Argyle.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Argyle. Okay, Freelance.
Vacation Friends 2.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he did the sequel to that movie. The first one was funny.
He must have voiced somebody in Mortal Kombat 1. It looks like animation.
Oh, okay.
He voiced Teenage Mutant Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. He was in Barbie.
That's right, yep.
Hidden Strike. Is that what you're talking about?
That's it. No. Hidden Strike is one with Jackie Chan on Netflix.
Oh, okay. Then Fast X, Die Hard.
What is it called?
Die Hard, the Kevin Hart thing.
Oh, okay. Nope. Yep.
The Independent.
Yeah, there it is. The Independent.
That came in 2022.
Yeah. That was
his the one before stunt. That was The Bubble, where he's Steve, the stunt coordinator.
The Bubble. Don't know that one.
Let's see. The Independent.
The Independent. John Cena.
What's the dude from that HBO show you like?
Larry David.
No. Brian Cox. He's from. What's the one with Culkin's brother?
Oh, that's right. It's with Succession.
That's it.
Brian Cox. Yeah. I saw that movie, The Independent.
I got a 35%.
Yeah, better than Freelance. So.
Well, I don't think. Well, I'm. Cena wasn't the main guy. That's probably why it got better score.
He's not the main guy. You're right. He's not. Like his agent told him not to do Barbie because he should not ever do cameos. He's a star. Oh. I'm like, no.
Let's hold up on that.
Yeah. I mean, even Argyle, it's a cameo, really.
Yeah, he's not a star.
Oh, he's not a star in that movie. So I don't know. I think he should do more comedies. Yeah.
Ricky Stenicki, they dyed his hair, and then they also gave him a wig or a toupee or something because he's balding at the top.
Oh, is he ever? Yeah,
and a shot from behind, he had a full head of hair.
No, he needs to do more comedies. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and do a couple more cameos, man. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, he's funny. Vacation Friends 1 is funny. He's funny in both.
Funny. I've never seen Vacation Friends.
Yeah, I think those are also Amazon Prime movies. He must have a contract with Amazon because a lot of his movies Amazon. John Cena. Yeah, he's in the new Fast and Furious, right? That was the first on the list, I think, was the new Fast and Furious.
Fast X.
He has to be, because...
He replaced The Rock.
Well, no, remember, you know why he's in the movie. You know the storyline. He's the brother of Vin Diesel.
Oh, what?
Yeah, he's Vin Diesel's brother. Yeah.
He was in Fast X in 2023.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, that's right, he's a Toretto.
He dies in that movie.
He does?
Yeah, or does Jacob. He? Dun, dun, dun. That's just it. Does he die? Dun, dun, dun.
But they only brought him in because The Rock didn't come back.
Well, remember, he's in Fast 9. He's the villain.
Who is? Cena?
John Cena, yeah.
Oh, my God. No, I don't watch these stupid movies.
Oh, they're horrible, but he's the villain in Fast 9.
Yeah, there are quite a few people in this one. They had Alan Richardson who was in it, too.
Oh, they have a ton of people. So Alan Richardson is... one of the bad guys also with Momoa. Forgot about Momoa. Yeah, and then you didn't see it, but it ends in a cliffhanger. Yeah.
I bet they all have cliffhangers.
But it's a cliffhanger where there's no way Vin Diesel's character can ever survive, but you know he's going to. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know why they keep making them. I mean, they keep making money, I guess.
Dominic Toretto.
They are outlandish fucking movies. So, yeah. Huh. Interesting.
We got eight. Let me see. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is Vin Diesel's upcoming.
Oh, okay. What does he got?
The Machine.
The Machine.
What is? Oh, actually, he's a producer, though. So, well, I guess he just produced. I'm sure he's in it, though. A War Hero 3.0. Untitled Fast and Furious film.
Well, yeah. Okay.
A Riddick movie.
Really? Why?
Merc City.
Ooh, okay.
Here's another one that's a Y. This is a Y. XXX4.
Wait, 4? Oh, that's right. He came back for a third one and nobody watched it. That's right.
Ice Cube was in part 2.
No, I know, but they did a third one and no one gave a shit.
Oh, they did. Oh.
Yeah.
Something called Muscle. And then in 2025, we get Fast X part 2. I didn't know it was a split. I didn't have no idea it was a split.
Huh. Yeah, it is. You know why? Because it was supposed to end on 12 movies. That's why.
Oh, they're going to do the Harry Potter thing?
Yeah. That's why. That's right. Vin Diesel, man, that dude, if it wasn't for fast movies, he wouldn't. I mean, he still does. No one watches his movies, but still. I mean, come on, man. Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel's like, has he ever really been popular? Like a movie like outside of Fast? No, not really. You know? But he's been in two really good movies, The Boiler Room and Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. When he turned into an action star, he got worse as an actor. Yeah. So, oh well. What can I say? I could care less to watch anything Vin Diesel's in. So, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's why I don't understand why they make a big deal that Vin Diesel is the voice of Groot. I'm like, who cares?
Anybody
could have done that shit.
Yeah. They could have just paid like Batista's double salary or something just to do it. Like,
yeah, hey, just say I'm Groot. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's so dumb. Also, this weekend, if you're into wrestling, WrestleMania. There you go. The Rock is wrestling at WrestleMania.
Who's he wrestling? Cody?
The Rock and Roman Reigns are tagging up to fight Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins.
Oh.
So I already told you how Jake Gyllenhaal wants to play Batman in the new Brave and the Bold.
Play Batman, yeah.
And he came out
apparently
recently.
He auditioned for the Chris Nolan Batman.
Yeah, and Chris Nolan called him personally and said, "Ah, sorry, buddy, you're not getting the role." But maybe Nolan will call Gunn and be like, "Hey, man, he's perfect. You want an older Batman? Because Batman's supposed to be a little bit older in the Brave and the Bold." So it's like, there you go, great shape.
Yeah, they keep doing actor. That. Alan Richardson.
No, he's too big.
Hawk is too big. He's way too big.
Way too big. Yeah, way too big. He would be a good Hawkman. And then also, Bad Boys, was it? Was it four?
Four.
Yeah, Bad Boys is four.
Ride or die.
So Bad Boys 4 dropping June 5th. That just dropped. The trailer just dropped.
You should have gave Chris Rock a role.
Chris Rock?
Yeah.
He is horrible. Oh, because, yeah. If you haven't seen Quiet on Set, the story about Nickelodeon's heyday and the problems on set with basically pedophilia, they're going to drop a fifth episode because it was supposed to be four, but now they're doing a fifth episode coming out April 7th. So there you go. Drake Bell, who spills the beans in episodes 3 and 4, comes back for episode 5. So who knows what's going to happen.
Well, he's the one who started talking about all this in the beginning, from what I understand.
Oh, yeah.
He came out and said, this is like a couple years ago, though.
It was a couple years ago. Yep. But it's wild. I mean, it's crazy. It's, just the way things, I'm telling you, just when you're a child actor in Hollywood, I mean, you better have somebody by your side 24/7.
That's like what Corey Haim, is it Corey, which one's alive?
Feldman.
Yeah, he's still alive. Yeah, he's the one who was saying the same thing. He was saying that this was going on. Nobody would believe in him because he's just a kid. Yeah, it's totally going on. And
He constantly would say that basically he'd be molested.
Yeah.
And how no one would listen to him.
And the other Corey was more molested, I guess you could say, or taking advantage of more because he was a cuter little kid or something like that. But
even Kenan Thompson, who was on the show All Out, and he was of course on Kenan and Kel, created by Dan Schneider, the really well-known producer of Nickelodeon during the time. He produced a lot of those kid shows. He's come out and said it's a very tough subject to talk about. He said, because I can't really speak on things that I never witnessed. And he said never really saw happen, and basically saying that these things happened way after I left. Basically, he was no longer like part of these shows. But he did say they should keep investigating because things like that shouldn't be happening. It is kind of wild though. I'm telling you, watch it it's on HBO called Quiet on Set, and it really is shocking to hear what Drake Bell has to say. Absolutely shocking. And not surprising, though, because, again, this has been rumors in Hollywood for a while that there's all these child predators that they're scoping out their next victim, and they're basically grooming them.
And those so-called pedophile parties that they have.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's one of those things where when you're a kid, you're you know, you're going to be trapped in a web of, you want to be famous? I'll keep you famous. Matter of fact, I'll even get you all the parts you want, but, and then fill in the blank. And a kid will do anything to be famous. I mean, that's what you learn from this show. Is
right. And one of the mothers was pretty much said it how it was. I mean, it's like, they don't want to say anything either because,
oh yeah,
they don't want their kid thrown off the show.
When she said that, I was like, that is wild. That
but not only that, I'm sure the kid was the only one bringing in that kind of money too, though.
That's what it was.
It was the income, not just kid being thrown off. If the kid gets thrown off the show, there's no income.
Yeah, and that's really what it was, is these parents that don't want to say anything, it's because of that reason. It's because they basically don't work. They live off the kids.
Right. They're either the kid's agent or manager or something to that effect.
Yep. And then that way they know if they turn anybody in or say anything, they're going to get booted, you know, from the show. One of the kids ended up getting booted because the mom is so overbearing, but she was making points. She was saying, basically, her kid is the black kid on the show, and she was saying, why is it the very first skit you make him do, he's running around acting like he's selling drugs on the street, and he's really trying to sell like candy or something like that. And then every skit he does, like a stereotype of like a black, you know, whatever, black criminal or whatever, every skit he was in. And the mom brought it up and they're like, you know what? We don't need you anymore. And if you go, he got to go too. And of course, the son resented it forever. He's like, bitch, mom, like, why did you bitch all the time? You know, I'm the one making the fucking money here. And I was kind of like, hey, he does have a kind of a point. He's just a kid. Like, he don't give a shit. Like, he's just playing a part. Like, it's not going to ruin his life. You're going to bitch about like the stereotypes and all that, but he's making all the money for the family, essentially. Like, you fucked that up. So I don't know. I just, it's wild, man. Like, you see, hear it all the time. Hollywood stories all the time. I mean, there was somebody else that another famous person said the same shit. I forgot who it was, but same shit. It's basically saying, you know, we're basically being groomed, you know?
Yeah, apparently Bryan Singer was a pretty good groomer.
That's what I hear too. Yeah, that's why he's not around anymore. That's why he doesn't do anything anymore. Because when that shit came out, he basically got blackballed from Hollywood.
Yeah.
So Bryan Singer literally doesn't do anything. And, you know, if you guys don't know who that is, he's the director of The Usual Suspects. That's kind of where you know him from.
X-Men.
Oh, that's right. X-Men movies and Superman Returns.
Superman Returns.
Yep.
So he did X-Men 1-3, I think.
I don't know. I don't think he did 3. I think he did 1 and 2.
Or was it 3 left where he Superman. Traded spaces to go do with Superman?
Yeah, and then he went back, remember?
Then he went back, yeah.
He went back to do the sequel to First Class, and it sucked. Like, he ruined that whole franchise. Balls.
Yeah.
He ruined First everything.
First Class was done by, was it Matt Vaughn?
I think so, yeah.
That was such a good movie.
Yeah. And that's the best X-Men movie.
Hands down.
Yeah. And like what Marvel's trying to do, it has to capture what that First Class did. It was so good. But we'll see. We'll see what, because I think Deadpool's going to set up a lot of X-Men stuff. I think it's going to, they're trying to say Deadpool's going to kind of retool the MCU's, what do you call it, multiverse. So we'll see. We'll see how that works. Hopefully it's cool. I'm hoping it. Even James Marsden recently came out and he's like, I can't tell you anything. I don't know anything. I'm like, yeah, it just means you're in the movie.
But he's in it. Yeah, he's Cyclops.
Yeah, of course. And, So we'll see. Like I said, I'm super excited for that movie. More than most, for sure. You know, Tom Cruise started filming the new Mission Impossible. So
Mission 8. People. Yeah, it's, Dead Reckoning Part 2.
It's coming. As he's already this, I like how they released a screenshot of him, and it's him running on the street. Because it's Tom Cruise. He got to be running somewhere. So check that out. And then did you end up seeing that movie? Keep telling you about Late Night with the Devil. Nope.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Yes. Well, check it out. It's not a scary movie, I'll tell you that. It's literally watching an episode of late night television. I'll tell you what it is. You're watching an episode.
Is it worth the 100% it's gotten on Rotten Tomato?
It's weird. It's not mainly because of they act like this is the scariest movie you're gonna see. It's not scary whatsoever, like at all. That has like no scare factor to it. It's not what, I don't know what people thought. It's good and it's original, but it's not scary whatsoever.
Maybe people thought another Australian flick, another Australian horror. Maybe it's going to be like Talk to Me. Talk to Me was so good. If you haven't seen Talk to Me yet, check that out. Talk to Me is so good.
That's a really good one. Yeah. This one, again, it's cool. Basically, it's about a late night show. It's second place to Carson. He's trying to do anything to beat Carson. So he tries to do like a Halloween night, you know, Halloween special. And he invites like a medium. Then he invites somebody that wrote a book about a girl that was possessed, and he brings the girl with her, or she brings the girl with her that was possessed. And then he brings somebody that he's a skeptic, so he basically debunks everything. So he debunks the medium, he tries to debunk the girl and the book writer and all that. So that's what he's there for. And you're watching a whole show. So between commercial breaks, you're seeing like the backstage and the producers.
Oh, okay.
You know, and all that. So it's cool. Like, it's really well done. It's not scary whatsoever. Like, zero. It's a good movie, but it has no scares. Again, it's good. The possession part of it is different than anything you've seen before. That I can tell you.
Yeah.
They actually show you, like, what the so-called demon is final look and what it's trying to accomplish. Right, unlike any other movie, like, that doesn't really ever reach that point. So there's that, I guess. But it's, like I said, it's not scary. So check that out in theaters. What else you got for me? Anything? No.
I got nothing, man.
Oh well, baseball starts. So watch baseball if you want. There you go. Baseball started. So play ball. Oh, the Thunderbolts have started filming.
Oh really?
Yeah, the Thunderbolts. Wow. Well, they're in pre-production, but all the actors said they're all getting suited for their costumes. They're definitely going to start filming in probably like a couple weeks. So there's the Thunderbolts. Oh, have you been watching X-Men 97?
I have, yeah.
Okay, pretty good. Pretty good. Animation, really well done. Really well done. So there's that.
I don't understand Magneto's M on his costume.
Oh, that's what he has in the comic.
That's dumb.
It's just, it's for Magneto.
He knows his name.
Does he?
Yeah.
I forgot his real name. What's his real name? You remember what his real name is?
Eric.
That's right, Eric. Eric, yes. I forgot about that. Eric. Anyway, X-Men 97. If you're a fan of the X-Men cartoon from 1992, check out X-Men 97. It's a continuation. It's on Disney Plus. So check that out.
Eric Lenscher, also known as Magneto.
Magneto. Did you see Dune 2 yet, by any chance?
I have not. Okay. No.
Steven Spielberg says it is one of the greatest sci-fi movies you'll ever watch. So, hey, there you go, Spielberg. Take it or leave it. Grain of salt. I don't know. What do you think when people say things like that? Oh, my God. Like, when somebody you think is very, like, significant in Hollywood and says, you gotta see this. This is the greatest thing ever.
But to me, nobody in Hollywood is significant anymore. I don't really care what their opinion is.
It's just weird how that doesn't really work anymore, right?
No. Maybe it does for, like, the teens and the tweens.
I don't think it does. I think that's the least crowd that it matters to.
Probably, because they're like, Stephen who?
Well, that and I think they're so consumed with TikTok, I mean, social media, YouTube, honestly. Yeah. Social media changed everything when it comes to younger people. Like, everything. Like they don't care. So they don't care as much for sports. They could care less for TV. You know what I mean? Like, must watch or whatever. What do we call must watch? They're not really into it. You know what I mean? All that, like, they're just glued to their phone. That's it.
Yeah.
Glued to the phone.
Yeah.
So they could care less about this stuff. So it does look good, though.
I saw some guy trapped in time today.
Really?
Yeah, I saw an older gentleman walking. I guess he was going for like his daily walk. He had a pair of headphones on. I didn't notice it until he's ready to cross the street, and he turned, and in his hand, he had a Discman.
Oh, yeah, that dude is from the future. No, well, he's from the past.
Stuck in time.
How old was this person?
Maybe 60s. He didn't look that old. Mid-60s?
Okay. 60, let's see. 60. Yeah. A Discman is from like the late, 80s? Early 90s? No, more like early 90s.
Oh, early to mid-90s.
So that means he's listening to something when he was probably like in his late 20s. I'm trying to think what he'd be listening to.
That's not available on digital?
Well, you said, but he has a Discman though.
I know, but I'm just saying, isn't that what he's listening to available on digital?
Oh, for sure. 100%. 100%. But maybe he doesn't want to get a subscription.
Ooh, maybe he doesn't want to be tracked. Oh, maybe he was wearing a baseball hat. So I don't know if maybe there was a tin foil hat underneath it.
Hmm.
But
yeah, I guarantee he probably has 1,000 CDs at home.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't.
Doesn't know how to rip them.
Those things used to skip, the worst. Oh. Can you still buy Discman? Can you still buy it?
The thrift shop, I'm sure.
Like, if you want on Amazon, do you think you can get them? Like,
let's take a look.
All right, we're gonna Amazon it. There we go.
Let's see.
Discman,
CD player.
Yeah.
Oh shit! It just canceled my Amazon subscription.
You know what?
You can. 1950, 2095.
Wow, they're all
non-brand because nobody makes them anymore.
Yeah, they are all these non-brand ones.
Right.
Wow, who would ever buy one? It's so wild.
Most expensive, 39. Oh, nope, I found one.
No, I see one for $45. Has Bluetooth.
$60.
$60? What? Wait, what?
Looks like it's made out of wood.
What the hell? $60. What does it come with?
Nothing.
What are the features?
Radio FM compatible, MP3 CD player portable. Bluetooth. Really? Ideal for cars.
Yeah, putting that in your car.
Come on.
Mm.
Gonna skip.
That's crazy. Oh, look, I found a USB cassette player.
Oh shit.
$32. This one looks freaking cool too. It's a USB cassette to MP3 converter. Portable Walkman, audio music player, tape to MP3 converter with earphones, no PC required. So basically, you put your tape in it, it converts everything to an MP3 and then saves it to the actual. Oh, and it has a USB stick on the side. You stick the USB into it, and it saves all that tape onto as MP3s. Well, you can use it as a regular Walkman. That's crazy. Mm. Walkmans were cool. Yeah.
Mm.
Walkmans are cool. I guess you can buy them. You could buy cassette players and freaking, yeah. I mean, yeah, you could buy freaking a cassette man and a disc man. That is, wow. I wonder who, I guess that guy's buying one. I was going to say, who's buying him?
He probably gets them once a month from Amazon and just keeps breaking.
Just, it's crazy.
$20. Get a 20.
That's something that'll never come back. Well, I have a lot of CDs too, so I still don't know what to do with them.
No, so do I. I have mine.
I feel like
because they're in storage, I just need to get them out of storage so I can finally rip the ones that I really want.
But don't you have a subscription for music somewhere?
Amazon Prime comes with music.
That's what I mean. I can fucking rip CDs. There are some CDs that are not on digital.
There are not.
Especially rap CDs where the artists won't put them out or they don't have the rights anymore and the record label that does for some reason won't put it out. So, which I don't understand that, but hey, is what it is. Anyway, that's all we got. So I got nothing else for you. That's all. You done? You good?
I'm good. Go get your discs out of storage, everybody.
Yeah, there you go. So for Carlos.
Bye-bye.
Man. That's me. That's what I say for. And nobody else. That's a short one. Thanks for tuning in. There's Talking the Podcast. We'll see you next time.